Thanks for doing this, John. How are you?
Hey, good, guys. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you as well. The 10th anniversary of the Torch Relay, it started in Victoria. What are your memories of getting kind of the show started in the lead up to the Olympic Games here in Vancouver?
Well, the 24 hours in the build up to Victoria was really quite something. We had gone back to a week before the Greeks had relit the Olympic flame and had their own relay. And at the end of that 7 days, they were to hand the flame over to Vancouver 2010. So we were back in Athens on the 29th of October to go through that ceremony in the old Olympic Stadium with the Greek Olympic Committee. And so, you know, we were in that stadium, this sort of ancient marble stadium, which is honestly, it's just something to behold, and it's there for everybody to see and so on. So we were there and we went through this ceremony, and it was pretty clear as we were going through it how important this flame is to the Greek community and Greek culture and so on. And as we were carrying the flame, as they were handing it over to us and we were leaving the stadium to get on our way back to Canada, you know, we were surrounded by, you know, Greek police officers, Secret Service, and so on. I was just astonished at the level of protection that they were providing. And I asked one of the officers, you know, well, what is the, you know, how come there are so many of you? And he said, well, you know, this is like protecting a head of state for us. That's how important this flame is. And I never forgotten that comment. And then we get on the plane, which is a Canadian Forces jet, which we had come over on to, and we get on the plane and we head back towards Canada. We land in Reykjavik at sort of 2 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the morning, and gas up, and then we head off to Victoria, fly across the Arctic and down over BC and into Victoria. And I never forget, you know, touching down and wondering, you know, what exactly is in store for us, because we have just spent years and years of talking, planning, promising, trying to get people familiar with what is going to be ahead. And, you know, so, and of course, all they have up to now is our word for that. And so we come off the plane and there's a huge gathering at the airport in Victoria. The mayor puts the flame, which is contained in a lantern on the tarmac. And the prime minister was there and the premier was there. And, you know, the big crowd was there, and we were home. And 30 minutes later, the relay started and the country started to embrace this in ways we hadn't even imagined. So it was quite a day. And as we are right 10 years to the minute to where we are now, the flame was wandering its way through the streets of Victoria and Esquimalt and so on in that area. Spent the whole first day there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the impact it had on those communities it visited. I worked in news at the time, and I remember when it was coming through Chinatown here in Vancouver, people were flooding onto the streets. What did you see from your experience about, you know, just that process and the relay and what it meant to people that were not connected to the organizing committee, but just regular Canadians?
Well, they were actually, in essence, the secret sauce for the whole thing. And we realized that if Canadians did not do what you just described very well, then the whole point of the relay would have failed. And the goal was to take the Olympic flame to within an hour of the front door of every Canadian so that people could, you know, bring their children, take them down to the highway or to the street and be there and feel this, so that as the flame wandered its way across the country and got back to Vancouver, people were able to, you know, relate to the fact that they had been a part of it, that the games that were about to start were theirs. And so the crowds were vital to this. And it was interesting because you've touched on something that was quite sensitive for us. We expected big crowds here in BC. We did. And in Victoria, we weren't disappointed. And as it went up the island, we weren't disappointed, like thousands and thousands of people coming out. But when we left BC, we had this concern that, you know, we had always planned for the country to embrace this and that this would be wholly owned by Canadians, as we used to refer to it as Canada's Games, as you remember. So when the plane left and went to the north, left the island and went to the north and landed in this tiny little village called Old Crow, I remember turning on the news that night and listening to Tom Walters say the very first time in all of history that a jet plane landed in Old Crow was today. And they pulled back, and the town of Old Crow, which is not very big, had doubled in size. And we realized that, it was happening exactly the way we'd hoped it would happen. And now it was going to be a case of every community trying to build on the last one. And of course, there's this euphoria just kept on picking up steam. And then along the way, the most remarkable things happened in different places, all part of the story of that ended, obviously, in the stadium itself when Wayne Gretzky and the others lit the cauldron.
Yeah, it was a pretty special moment for Canadians, but especially British Columbians if you were in the city, in the province at the time. John, celebrating 10 years of the Torch Relay, and I understand there are some special plans to mark that anniversary. What will you be doing to mark it?
So on the 22nd of February, one of the great things about the Olympic Games is that we look back on it and we've always felt that the reason the Games succeeded is that we had great partners, great friends. It wasn't just organizations and companies that gave us money to do the work. They just pitched in and the public pitched in. And so we had this all-in kind of process. And so we're, the Canadian Olympic Committee is planning to stage a sort of a reunion, a homecoming of sorts in Vancouver on the 22nd of February at Grand Gala to bring the family of 2010 together again from all over the country and hopefully at the same time raise funds for the next generation of BC-based athletes to become Olympians in their own right, so that this journey that we're on today, which Canada is a powerhouse on, which is, you know, we're a top three nation in the world in the winter, top 10 in the summer, that we can keep this going and you know, fulfill our ambition to become the number one winter sport nation in the world in the coming year. So that's being planned for February. And so today is the beginning of that window, the opening day of the Olympic celebration, which of course ends in March of 2010. So that's what we're trying to do.
John Furlong, our guest here on Reach Deep. When we look back, you know, I remember just so much living in Toronto at the time, John, and watching from afar and seeing own the podium, which you were the chairman of in the lead up to the 2010 games, and what a moment that became for Canadian athletics. Then the medals came to follow as well. Is that the lasting legacy of the 2010 games, when Canada became more than just known to the world as a hockey country?
You know, you've nailed it, because, you know, when you get asked about, you know, what was the big takeaway? I mean, there's lots of answers to that question, and many of them are the traditional takeaways. But one that really stands out to me is the performance of the Olympic team. We never won a gold medal at home. We had never really performed at the level that a home country is expected to perform. We didn't win gold in Calgary. We didn't win gold in Montreal. And so we came to the belief that the country would sort of view the Olympics as fairly passive unless we had a great team. And so we made this investment. We started OTP. Vanock raised a bunch of money. The federal government put some money in, and we started to prepare. And then, you know, when the world came to Vancouver and we had this great team, which became the team to beat, and we go through the games and we win all these medals, and there's this great excitement until the last day. And the last day has this kind of special significance to it, because on the last day, it is in our destiny to perhaps win a 14 gold medal and be the winningest nation for gold medals in history. And, you know, sort of from my standpoint, that day was about, you know, I thought that given everything that had happened to us, all of the tragedy and the adversity that we faced, that natural justice would take over and that we'd win that gold medal on the Sunday. But what was really powerful about that Sunday was, you know, we had the game and we had the team and everybody knows where they were. But it was sort of at the end of that day when that game unfolded and that goal came from Sidney Crosby in overtime. I think Canadians generally felt like they had a stick on that puck, that they were themselves not any longer watching, but they were actually living this. And to me, that was the real legacy of the games. It was this full in. We all did this together. This was not about a bunch of elite organizers, but more about the country having a moment in time. And as long as we're alive, I would say that we will all remember where we were at that time. Well, that's an amazing legacy to have. And it's a message about what can happen when you get it right and when you hold hands and you stick together and pull together. I mean, in our country, I mean, let's face it, you know, there's regional rivalries in Canada that it always makes us feel like sometimes we're a group of countries. But for that one, you know, shining moment in 2010, we were one country and we sent a message to the world. We had this conversation with the rest of the planet on our terms. without giving up on our personality, without abandoning our humility, we were, I think, pretty good and noble and humble champions. And that, to me, is something that we have and we will always have to build on.
Yeah, it was a great uniting moment, also a coming-of-age moment for this city, and I think in the last 10 years we've seen it grow and develop in a lot of ways. John, we have you on the line here, and I got to make sure I ask you this question because there's always comes up every time we talk about Olympics and Winter Olympics of, you know, some other cities are not really all that keen to be hosting Olympic Games. Could Vancouver and Whistler host another one? Is John Furlong a fan of that idea?
I am a fan of that idea. Here's the thing about this. You know, when you go out, I mean, when Calgary submitted its bid, I think when you look back today, I mean, it's a year on almost now, you know, Calgary just did not have the winning conditions in place. And the winning conditions include obviously having a vision and having a plan and having a strategy, but also having, you know, political champions and bringing all of the right elements together. And honestly, I think had Calgary had all of that together, they would have won this thing going away. And I think given, you know, when you think about that and you think of where that province is today and the election of the last few weeks, the spiritual impact the games would have on that province, the lift it would give. So I think for us, you know, we've done it. We still have the venues. If we stepped into that arena again, we've had the experience of going through all of the growing pains, et cetera. And we know, I think, now what it takes in order to pull this off. This is not for the lighthearted. This is a job for everybody. And I think when we went to Prague in 2003 and in the years that followed, this was a job that was done by the entire country. This wasn't about a few people. It wasn't about just Vancouver. It was about all of us. And I think provided that we present ourselves as that force, I'd be shocked if we would not be successful again to stage the game. So I think it's really a case of getting all the elements right and setting yourself up for success. And I think, you know, for the last round, all of the elements were not right. The town, the Calgary, was not quite as united as we were. We had our challenges too, but I think all of that has to happen.
John, it's been a pleasure going down memory lane with you. The 10-year anniversary, a lot of memories, a lot of good memories, and we're continuing to raise money for athletes. So congrats on all of that, and all the best moving forward. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Good luck. Take care.